Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening again. Thank you for the opportunity again to spend time in your word. Sorry. Spend time in your word and with each other. And we just ask your blessing, Father, that you will be here in spirit and guide and direct what we discuss and what is taught as we wrap up or begin to wrap up the not so minor prophets, as I call them. We pray for your protection. Please keep us from the evil one. Be with those that so desperately need you to encourage, protect, support, and intervene for them. Please help all of us to stay focused on you and your son and to yield to your spirit and let that live in us powerfully that we may be your children. And we just anticipate the time when we'll be changed to spirit. What a blessing that will be. That's when the real work begins, by the way. So we ask your blessing here. Thank you now, and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I decided I say probably, you know me. By the way, I have a saying that many have used, and I didn't originate it. I'm not the originator, rather, but blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And so stay flexible. I am going to either go through the entire overview tonight of the minor prophets, or I'm not. So we'll see how far we get. I don't want to rush it because I know Kathy likes me to talk a little bit slower, and I understand that. So one of the things I thought I would tell you, I wanted so badly to give you all a minor prophets final. I made one up. It only had 62 questions. And you had to know all the scriptures, the visions, what they mean, the themes, the names, the dates, the historical background, the woes pronounced, and then what the different books were trying to do with the people as God inspired them. And then the eight visions of Zechariah. So I have it. If anybody would like to take that test, let me know. If nobody would like to take that test, don't let me know. But so you got off the hook. Kathy saved your bacon, as they say, your beef bacon. So, but what I want to do is some of this, all this is going to be review. But I want to give an overview of primarily the scriptures you need to know. And I'm going to try to share a document. I got to use a couple different pair of glasses because one, that's complicated, but anyway, I want to try to share a document and see if you guys can download this. I haven't done this in a little while, so hang tight. Okay, here we go. All right, that didn't do it. Boom. All right, let's see. Existing whiteboard meeting info. No, I don't need that. It worked earlier and now it doesn't want to work. So you know how that goes. Go figure. Well, you guys might get off the hook anyway. All right, I will just say this since I can't figure it out. I had it working earlier and now it doesn't want to work. I have a document. Let me see if I can open it. All right, and I'm going to see if I can share that thing. Okay, that wasn't it. Almost got it. All right, let me see docs. Joe's laughing, so's Eric. They upgraded it. I just renewed it today and it did something. And Eric, how do you remember how to share a document on this or no? Here's your chance to
I don't
help me.
remember. Sorry. I've never tried to do that on Zoom.
I've done it before, and I've done it multiple times. It just doesn't want to do it. And so I guess we won't. Anyway, what I had was, and I can send it to you if you'll email me. Please don't text me. Email me, and I will send you the scriptures to know for the final overview of the minor prophets, okay? And I can send it to you. That way you'll have it. I sent a PDF to you. You download it and print it. But anyway, these are the scriptures to know. Let's go to Hosea, and I'm just going to go through these and tell you what the synopsis, the highlight. The first is Hosea chapter 2, verse 11, which says, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, her solemn feasts. So it's talking about, and so if you just write down Hosea 2:11, because these first five scriptures are going to be Hosea, it talks about the feast days and the new moon. Then Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. So the lack of knowledge is what destroyed them. That's a critical verse to remember, Hosea 4, verse 6. Then 8, chapter 8 and verse 12. Chapter 8 and verse 12 says, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. So Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, the great things of the law were counted as strange. Now, these are all things as we go back and look at the book again, and you can listen to the different recordings if you want to review. But if we're not careful, the great things of God and his law can become strange to us. And we'll go back to where they're strange, they're odd, we really don't want anything to do with them anymore, and so we don't. Not a good place to be. Then, as you know, chapter 9 and verse 8, the watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. Some of you, if you're honest, are probably saying, I don't even remember going over this. Because we did, but it's been long enough that we forget. If you didn't forget, then you're doing better than me. But it's talking about the watchman of Ephraim. Then chapter 14, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. So here he says, my anger is turned away, talking about the time of the millennium. It's a good thing to have God's anger turned away from us. Even Moses, if you remember, in his discussion with God, when he said, God said, I've had it. I'm going to kill all of these people and I'm going to start over with you. And he said, what are you thinking, God? So those are the four, five rather, key scriptures from Hosea. Now let's go to Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, it is nigh at hand. And then in verse 28 and 29, don't forget these, it said, I shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. That's really important to reflect on that. And then chapter 3 and verse 18, it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop new wine down, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. So he will pour out his spirit, excuse me, as a fountain from the Lord. We just went through the day of Pentecost. If you remember, those of you that were tuned in, I talked about what is the purpose of God's church. When God pours out his spirit, I don't really think we understand what's going to take place. It is not poured out right now. Those he has called makes it available to pour it out if you yield to it, seek it, obey God, and ask for direction from that to live in us. Then it will pour out from you. I dare say very few of us, some, but very few of us, certainly not all of us all the time, know what it's like to really feel the power of God's Spirit in you dynamically, the change, how you think, your focus. It's very easy to get caught in the physical aspect. Now let's move to Amos. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. If you don't remember any other scriptures of all the minor prophets, I hope you'll remember this, because this one is critical for God's children to walk with Him, the Father, and Jesus Christ, and one another. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That can be in a marriage. It can be in a country. It can be in a nation. It can be in a neighborhood. It can be in a church, a fellowship. Can two walk together except they be agreed? One of my favorite scriptures. And then verse 7, remember this: surely the Lord God will do nothing. Nothing. Nada, zippo, zilch, cetera. But he reveals his secret unto his servants through his prophets written here in the Bible. So you need to be in agreement through God's Spirit with our Father and His Son. I've had a lot of people say, well, I just want to make sure God's on my side. No. You want to make sure you're on God's side, not He's on your side. Think through that one. Way too many people say, well, if God's on our side, all right. No, we need to be on His side because His thoughts are not our thoughts. And many, many, many times, most of the time, if not all the time, we aren't where He is with Him like we should be. And then Amos chapter 5, verse 3. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. So, you can remember what took place about the return. Ezekiel chapter 5 talks about a third, 1/30th is what this is actually, not a third. 240 some million, just a huge number. Okay, Amos chapter 6, verse 6. They drink wine in bowls, and they anoint themselves with chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So that's important. They do these things, but they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Chapter 8 and verse 11. Again, I'm hitting the highlight verses of the book. You could have your own, of course. Verse 11 of chapter 8, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I've said this before. There's a time coming, and I've said this as well. If all of the people we serve knew that this was the last Bible basics, last Sabbath service, last time they would ever be able to hear from me and Gail again, I think they'd be connected tonight and on the Sabbath. But we get comfortable, don't we? We get distracted. We get busy. We get tired. I get it. But there is a famine of the word coming. It's prophesied. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. And I personally believe, and I know this is public, so I always put myself at risk when I say stuff like this, but it's coming that they're going to come after you and me. They're going to come after us because we try to obey God and observe and keep His word and let His spirit live in us. Don't think things are always going to be like they've always been. So we have to, as they say, make hay while the sun shines and keep going and be grateful and thank God and ask Him to continue to leave that open so we will not have a famine of the word according to His will, whatever that is, that it changes. But the days, says the Lord, I will send a famine in the land of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And then chapter 9, verse 9. For although I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among the nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, you shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. And then verse 13 to 15, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. That makes Gail and Harry happy. That shall make gardens. Harry likes to make wine. He's bringing wine with him on his visit, I'm sure. And eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. So during that 1,000-year period, what an incredible time that's going to be. What, I just can't imagine. I've been working on things for the Feast of Tabernacles coming up and been thinking and reflecting on what's going to take place and what a blessing that's going to be. Okay, now let's go to Obadiah. Let's go to Obadiah. All right, chapter. Bear with me here a minute. Yeah, chapter. Verse 15 of Obadiah. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, it shall be done unto you. Your reward shall return upon your own head. Sometimes I get kind of energetic, outspoken, excited, and I talk about things during the Sabbath, especially the announcements and sermons, where I say some of the things that people have done, they're going to have to answer for it because they haven't had to in this life. They claim to be religious and righteous and leaders and whatever they are. But there's a pattern. Some of us know over and over, people have been abused and hurt, and there's been lying, deception, and that most of the people have no clue and they don't even believe it or want to believe it. But it says, remember, whatever you've done shall be done unto you, and your reward shall return upon your own head. The day of the Lord is on all the heathen, not just a select few. And verse 21, and saviors shall come up to Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So here it talks about what's going to take place. Part of the responsibility, folks, that we cannot just look at and brush aside is if we're going to serve God, our Father and His Son, as kings and priests, we had better be doing our homework and living this way of life now. And stop being so physical and make the shift with our minds. It's not easy. It's easy to get caught up in all this stuff. And so we will be considered working with Jesus Christ, saviors, helpers, deliverers from these people. Imagine what it's going to be like to not have our adversary around and then somebody to say, look, you got this. Let me walk with you. And this is the way you do it. I know because I can say I didn't always do it right. Most of the time I actually didn't, but I was trying and I learned. And here's what takes place, how you build that godly, holy, righteous character by making the decisions. By putting forth the effort when it's really hard to put forth the effort and you don't feel like it and you're hurt and you're tired and you're exhausted. But you keep asking God for strength and you say, not by power, not by my might, but by God's Spirit. And you keep going. And so now let's go to Jonah. One verse in Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 10. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God, the word here, repentant, means to change his mind of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And so he did it not. And thank God, when we repent to him, daily, often, and we say, Father, please forgive me. And I can't even say, Father, forgive me, for I know not what I should do, because I do know what I'm supposed to do. But like Paul said, that I want to do, I don't. And that I don't want to do, I do. And if you do too much do, you know what you get? You get doo-doo, and that's not good. So we want to do what God wants us to do and don't what God wants us don't. And you know, it's real simple. Those are the works of the flesh are the don'ts. And the works of the Spirit, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are the do's. So God repented. He changed his mind. I remember years ago giving a message where I started it out with the scripture where God says, I change not. And I talked about all the times in his, the word of God inspired, where he changed his mind. He changed. Boy, somebody got upset and they said, no, that isn't what that means. I said, then what does it mean? Because God doesn't change. I said, that's what frosted Jonah. You said you were going to wipe this country, this city out, and you didn't. Well, think about that. What God said to me, Scott, you deserve to die. And I say, to the best of my little puny human ability, I repent before you. Please be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Help me. Don't leave me. And he says, 10-4, Bud Goody. I mean, good buddy, right? I'll never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews. I think 13:4, maybe not, but it's in Hebrews. I'll never, ever, ever. The Greek's very emphatic. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so we need to be reminded it's never too late to repent. It's never too late to ask God to change his mind because the wages of sin is death. I talk about that in my Friday night letter that's posted to the done. Did it early this week. You may find that fascinating. Is appointed for men once to die and then the judgment. Here's an interesting thing. Remember now, judgment is upon the house of God. That's you and me. How are we doing? We don't need to wig out and get freaked out and scared and trepidatious and nervous, depressed, or discouraged about that, but face the reality and say, you know, We better get our house in order, as God says. So God repented. And he says, okay, I'm not going to just make you into a crispy critter, Eric or Gail or Clark or Harry or Lorna or whoever. I'm not. You're my child. I love you. All right, Micah. Micah. Micah chapter 4. There's a lot of scriptures here. Micah chapter 4, I mean, that we could use. Verses 1 to 3, these millennial scriptures. In the last days, it shall help some of you that are speaking at the feast will hone in and pick up on some of these. In the last days shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of all the mountains, and it shall be exalted above all the hills, and the people will flow unto it. It'll be a continual stream of people. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. As a side note, this is why I have taught young people. And I remember at camp meetings say, I don't want to have those activities where we shoot at each other, laser tag, paintball. I don't think we should have those at the camps. Why? Because we're learning how to shoot other human beings. Years ago, way back, going back a long ways, this game came out called Wolfenstein, where you went through all these things and you shot German soldiers and the blood splattered and all the kids just loved it, became highly addictive. And so my mom remembers this. I was not allowed to play cowboys and Indians or army with the neighbor kids. That was their favorite thing to play. And people have said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I said, then if you read this verse, it says, neither shall they learn war anymore. So if you're one that loves to see a movie where they just go and murder and kill and blow up and kill the enemy, well, I would ask you, why is this scripture in there for us to consider and think about? Right? Neither shall they even learn about it. There's going to be a lot of places out of business. And so these are millennial scriptures, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephraim, though you be little among the households of Judah, out of you shall come forth me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from an old, from everlasting. Chapter 6 and verse 8. Here's another scripture that you need to put to memory. He has showed you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? To make sure you go to this fellowship every single week. Don't you quit. Don't forsake the assembling. You better be there. You better send your tithes and offerings there, nowhere else. You talk to those people there, not the other fellowships or the other neighbors. They're pagan. What does he require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, be teachable, correctable, not recalcitrant, not stubborn, not argumentative, not a know-it-all, but walk humbly with your God. And the only way you do that is if you are submitting through his spirit, and that spirit is in you. And you'll know. You'll know. That's what God requires of you. That's the essence of what he wants. So, chapter 6, verse 8, chapter 7 of verse 18, critical as well. Who is a God like unto you that pardons lawlessness and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Psalm 130, verse either 4 or 11, I can't remember, but it's in Psalm 130. He delights in mercy. Do you delight in mercy? Wonderful scripture. Okay, let's go to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. You want your foundation, a stronghold, a fortress, spiritually to protect you? And he knows you. Does he know you? Does he know that you're one of his children that trust him? You have a relationship with him. You study his word so he can speak to you. You talk to him daily and often. The Lord is good. And he knows them as a stronghold the day of trouble that trust him. That's a really, really anchor scripture for us as his children. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5. Behold, you among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. In the book of Acts, it refers to his church. I didn't say a church or the church. His church, the ecclesia, the called out ones that have his spirit. Where are they? Who are they? It doesn't say that. There's a reason for that. Decades ago, we said, oh, there's only one, and we're in it, and the rest of the sad sacks aren't. That's really, really awful. Thank God, I sure don't think that way anymore. I hope you don't. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. This is also another key one. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Okay, that word faith in Hebrew is emunah. It means steadfast, strong. Remember in Exodus 17, it said Moses' hand was steady and strong. 2 Kings 12, 16, it says they tithed faithfully. There was strength, the faith, and we live by his faith. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet not I, not you. But we live by the faith of the Son of God that's in us that gave himself for us. But the just will live. Nothing else we have will anchor us to our Father and his Son, like having that faith of him living in us through his Spirit. In Philippians 2:5, the mind of Christ. And then verse 14 of Habakkuk 2. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You remember Moses' face, how it was, even the movie The Ten Commandments came down and Charlton Heston was just glowing, right? His hair was all, had a perm and was all white and fancy, and he just glowed. Well, the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, and the knowledge of that. Pretty cool. Okay, Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The great day of the Lord is near, it's near, and has greatly even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of water, wasteness and desolation, darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. So here it talks about the day of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of this earth, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. So they're going to famish. They're going to get rid of the gods of this earth, and there are multiple and many. This nation has so many false gods, it's unbelievable. Our military, our money, our political party, our actors, our actresses, what we have in our homes. I could go on and on. We have created idolatry and false images and made gods out of them. Verse Zephaniah, let's go to chapter 3, verse 4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. We want to make sure that we don't do that, that we aren't like that, that we don't follow leaders that claim to be soft-spoken and so righteous and wonderful, but in reality, they're doing this. We're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know. No one told me. Oh, it's fine. That's his problem, not mine or her problem. That's not going to cut it. Not. Chapter 9. For then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. With one consent, a pure language. It doesn't say it's going to be Hebrew, folks. Some teachers teach that. It doesn't say that. I'm hoping it's not German, for those are you sprechen die Deutsch? Jawohl, right? Coming up. That's a harsh language for me. I guess Germans love it. I kind of like the Italian, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like Kathy, but she's more of a Northeastern Italian. I like the romantic languages a little better. But hey, we'll find out, won't we? But there'll be a pure language. And then verse 17, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save, rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. I wonder how God's singing is going to be like. That'll be neat. I have to look forward to that. We don't need to be fearful. That's just going to be pretty loud. Verse 20, at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. So, what an incredible time. You know, I'll make you a name. That's going to be cool. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Ha ha, but the 401k is mine. My new truck is mine. Right? My house that's paid off is mine. I'm not picking on it. You know, my whatever it is. No, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. He's going to add to the temple too, as he pleases. Chapter or verse 21 and 22, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. He's going to shake the heavens. He's going to overthrow all the kingdoms of this world, including Make America Great Again, folks. If that's your hero, if that's your wow, nothing that's here is going to take over. He comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some aren't going to like that. They're going to say, no way, Jose, you ain't doing that. This is mine. I built this. I made this. He's going to say, sorry, Charlie. You're not. Zechariah. Zechariah, and we got a lot to go through here, but I want to try to finish. We may go over just a hair. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, if you're 20 and you can bench press 300 pounds, run a 440, if you can hold a 9 millimeter and at 100 yards, take out the target, boom. Whatever your strength is, your mind, maybe you're smart, really quick-witted. I used to be able to recall things pretty quickly. Every time I have a surgery, it goes a little further away. And I'm aging too. So, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Do we live that way? Do we live that way? Do we think that way? Verse chapter 7, verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Their hearts were stone, concrete, solid, mortared, hard, not pliable, not changeable, not willing to listen, not willing to seek God's will in our lives. Verse 20, let me see. Chapter 8. Okay, let's go to chapter 8, verse 5. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. But what are they doing in the street? How am I going to drive? I might run them over. Not what it's talking about. They'll be playing. When I grew up, we used to have what were called block parties. Anybody remember those? You shut the block off on each end, and you rode bikes, and you lit firecrackers, maybe, and you played games and hopscotch, and you sold lemonade or had lemonade and cupcakes and played tag, and they let you shut the street off. Those were fun times. You could hear people laughing and giggling and having fun. That the streets will be filled with children having fun again. Nowadays, they're all on their stupid phones inside. Hiding out because they might get COVID still, or they might actually have to talk to somebody, right? Instead of interface just on a phone. Things have changed, and it was going to go back. Verse 22 and 23. Yes, many people and strong nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men will take hold of all languages of the nations and take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So it's an indication that God will start up to teach the Jews and the Israelites. And they're going to say, teach me. Please tell me what God's word says. I don't understand it. You remember Gamaliel? How can I learn unless someone teaches me? I can tell you that has really changed. I don't get that very often. I'm teaching, we're like, no, that's what you say. That's your opinion. Okay, chapter 9 and verse 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, Your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, slowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horse, this is the second coming, from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and I speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. Coming in, riding upon a donkey, not a giant what, Many times God works. Despise not the day of small things, very humbly. If you think, well, he's only working where I am because we have this and all this money and all these numbers of people, not a good thing to dwell on. Chapter 12 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Forms the spirit of man. We don't know for sure when that takes place exactly, but God does that. Verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit. How many times does it talk about the spirit of God, of grace and supplications? And they shall look upon me, referring to Christ, whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then chapter 13 and verse 9. And I will bring a third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Not, oh my God, but the Lord is my God. Do we know him? Does he know us? I hope so. Chapter 14 and verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Chapter 4 or verse 4. And his feet shall stand upon that day in the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. Verse 8. It shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one, not just the God of the Israelites. The king over all the earth. Chapter 14 and verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which comes against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And verse 21. Yes, even every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanites in the house of the Lord, no more merchants, or as it says, false teachers of the Lord of hosts. No more. And then let's go ahead and finish Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge and seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, stop, pay attention, take note. He shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Although they deserve to be destroyed, I won't. Verse 21. Excuse me, not verse 21. Verse 5. Verse 8, rather, Malachi, we're in 3. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, what do you mean we've robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And then chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day shall come, shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and leave them neither root nor branch. They will be consumed. Verse 3. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and that dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with utter destruction. So those are the scriptures you need to know from the minor prophets. Was that the quickest overview you've ever had in your life? Again, you can go back and listen to any of the recordings and also this one. Or if you send me an email, I'll send you a PDF of these scriptures I just went over. What I would like to do before I open it up for any comments is tell you what my plan is for next week and ask you what you think. I have a couple options. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying that, first of all, starting tomorrow, we will have house guests in this house, and there will be an overflowing of the Travis family in this part of the universe, which is a good thing. We're excited. But there's a lot going on. It would help me, being very lazy, to have, because I'm already going to have the 17th and the 24th. Yeah, the 17th and the 24th are already going to cancel because of our trip, that we will be just really busy. Would it could really make you guys not like me as much if I said I'd like to cancel next week, spend the time to be with my family? But if you say no, I really want to have it, I'll do it. You know me, I will. But it was going to be the beginning of the former prophets. Maybe give you a little bit of time to go back over the minor prophets, kind of review some of these scriptures. Maybe you can pick a couple, three books each week. I'm going to open it up for comments. And again, you won't offend me if you say no, I really want to have it. But and I'll do it. But we made it through the overview tonight. I know I probably went fast, but again, you can go back and look it up, look the scriptures up too.
Take a break.
Okay.
I'll be in Miami next week, so I probably won't be able to be attend anyway.
All right. I don't know when the surgery is going to be for this other thing. And okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Focus on family.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't get that liberty very often. And this is a 65th anniversary. We're kind of tickled about that. We're shooting for 75 too. We're already working on that. So, okay. Well, let's go ahead. I want to open it up. Are there any comments about the minor
Mr.
prophet?
Malker,
Yes, ma'am.
the boss said, "Go ahead and take your rest."
Okay, Miss Sherry, thank you.
You're
I think
welcome. Spend time with the family as well.
All right, the mama has spoken. All right. Well, I got to obey my mom, so didn't always do that, but all right. Okay, so we will have the next 3 weeks off. Use it wisely, please. And I will send out a reminder before the one when we start again. But if you try to connect and we're not here, you'll know what happened. And if you have any questions about any of the minor prophets that we have gone through, or comments or whatever, please reach out to me. Let me know. I'm not so busy. I'm busy. We're always busy, but I'm not so busy that I don't have time to talk and answer questions or just chit chat about how you're doing, because I care. And so any questions or comments about the minor prophets? Because we're going to move to the former ones next.
I think your overview was very good.
Why, thank you, Joseph's iPhone.
I'm stopped right now. I was just trying to take a break from the driving. So,
I understand. Okay,
I
good.
got 3 pages of notes.
Good girl. You want a PDF of all the scriptures for that review? You let me know. I'll send it to you tomorrow.
I wrote fast.
Good girl. You knew you could do it. Good job. All right. Harry's got
Scott.
it. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to bring out one other one that you could, might have mentioned here. To me, it's important. It's in 4:4 Malachi. It says, "Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto Moses for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments." Now, if we knew all that, Christianity today is not doing anything with that, in which we are to be, really, I mean, that's what we base all of our obedience to God is upon that, the law of Moses, which is the law of God, his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. And that's
100%.
our guideline to live by, as
Yep.
far as, living, day
Right.
to day living. Yeah.
I agree. Thank you. Yeah,
Yeah.
I saw it and I'm like, okay, I want to read it, but I can't do everything, so but I don't
Yeah.
disagree with you.
Yeah.
So
I
you're good.
understand.
Yeah. Good point. So Kathy, add 4:4 there.
Do you
And
think?
what's 3:3 again, everybody? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? 3:3, right?
I
Or
still, go
go
ahead.
ahead.
I was going to say, I still like Micah 6:8. Do justly,
Yeah.
love mercy, work humbly with God.
What does God require of us? Yeah. I just, this minor prophets for me, yeah, I had to prepare all of it, but it has been one of the greatest studies I've ever done, just being able to do it. So, I have to present it, but to be able to study it, to go back, it had been 40 years for me. And I'm looking forward, the former prophets isn't going to be a piece of cake, let me tell you. And that's going to be a long one. My goal is until I die, which could happen anytime, I guess. Will maybe someday. My goal is to get for the Bible basics, as long as we have opportunity, I want to get the whole Bible covered. So if you think it's going to just stop someday, it will if I get, I guess if I get sick, but then Gail has a knack to like to study and do things. So she might have to do like Ellie Dart did and take the reins and run with it. So
One has to keep studying.
You've been put on notice. Okay. All right. Any other comments or thoughts? Thanks, Harry, for that comment.
was his verse that he liked? What was the verse that Harry liked?
Malachi.
Malachi what?
4:4.
4:4. Thank you. I want my head to quit spinning.
Okay, let's go ahead and Joe's driving and Eric's going to Miami next week, so you know, maybe Eric, can you close in Spanish, or you do it and I'll do it in Spanish and you can do it in English? How's that?
No, you don't want me to close in Spanish.
All right,
just Eric, say adios.
Yeah, be really sure.
Say, Padre eterno en cielo, en el otro, say mi servid. Eric, go ahead. I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Father, we come to you thanking you for this time to study your word. And Father, to have this section of scripture that is so important with the key scriptures tonight, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the references. Help us to take these verses and put them into memory, to look over this section of scripture and put these verses into our minds so that we can be ready to give an answer and be ready to proclaim your message, Father, when the time is right. Father, we ask you to continue to guide and direct all of us. We ask you to be with Noe. Father, we ask you'll be with Scott and Gail as they prepare for company. Father, we pray that everything will be smooth with the traveling and all the time that is spent. Father, we pray you'll guide and direct us all. Again, keep us safe, bring us safely into your coming Sabbath. And again, thank you that we can be here together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.